This episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.
Welcome back to another episode of The Last Storm. My name is Mark, and I'm here with Dave, and we're here to talk about our second game of the year. Unfortunately, it's our second loss, and it was another loss by a significant margin. But let's just talk about it. Our leading scorer was two guys tied. It was SGA and Mike Muscala with 13 points. So that, I think, says it all. I mean, you're not going to win many games when your leading scorer only has 13 points. But to me, it's not panic time.
Yeah, man. And Mike Muscala scored 13 points in 9 minutes, and it was one quarter of play for him. So he did that pretty quickly there. But Shea, you could tell that he was just, you know, rusty. I mean, I love using that word when it comes to players getting into true form. I'm not worried about SGA at all. I'm looking at what he's doing, and things are going to start clicking. When things start clicking, things are going to start working out better. The score tonight was 91 to 124. It was pretty awful. But honestly, though, like, we're going to have games like this a lot throughout the season. And the reason I say that is because, look at, the Bucks just got beat by the Heat by 47 points. To me, this isn't that big of a deal. This is going to happen with a young team. We're going to see a lot of guys get playing time during this time. And to me, this will be a really great time to see what type of expectations that we can have for these guys running forward.
Yeah, I mean, there are still some good moments that we want to talk about. One of them was a big-time dunk by Bazley, something we've seen in both of the games. That was awesome to see. Also, Isaiah Roby got the start. I was pretty impressed with what he did out there. He did have some trouble at different points, but, I mean, let's face it, this is his first start of the year, and it's going to be something that he's going to work through. And I think giving him more opportunity, you know, early on is really important to this team. Derek Favors came off the bench today, so that I think that kind of speaks to, maybe we'll see what they're looking to do. Is it a rotating starting spot at the center? We're not sure yet, but I like seeing Isaiah Roby out there. That's something that I wanted to see, so I'm happy about that. Josh Giddey, you know, he had somewhat of a quiet game, but, you know, when you see some flashes, that's all you need. I mean, we're not expecting him to come out and be like LeBron right now, but that three he hit, that was really nice.
Yeah, you're right. And to me, looking at the way that Giddey's trying to get used to the flow of the NBA game, it's just going to take time. Like, we're not expecting Giddey to come out and be a 20-point player average a night. Like, that's not what we're expecting. We are expecting that from Shea, and we're expecting Dort to step up as well. But these guys are rusty right now. They're young, so it takes them a little bit longer to get used to the flow of the game in the start of the season. Some of these veterans, if you look at the two teams we played this year, they're just full of really good veterans. I know you'll say, oh, the Houston Rockets are all a young team. No, but they're not. If you look at it, you see how many seasonal veterans they have on the team, and then you start recognizing that they're not what you would consider an incredibly young team. Yes, they have young players, but they're still growing into that that role right there. So I still think the Houston Rockets are still too good, unless they're deciding to keep Christian Wood and they're deciding to keep some of these other players that are a little bit older. But I still feel like they're a little bit too, whatever. We'll get to everything about the Houston Rockets in a little bit, but let's just focus right now on how our guys did, because the reality is that we just didn't play to what we would consider Oklahoma City Thunder standard tonight. And you look at these guys, I felt like one of the best players of the night was when Teo drove to the hole and just did an amazing layup. You know, he's not getting those big minutes like he got last year right now. I'm not too concerned about that. I love it when he's on the floor, but there's just so many other playmakers tonight and on the team and on the bench that this is the way it's going to be for a lot of these guys. Some of them will start breaking out and starting to take more and more minutes as the time goes on, like Kenny Hustle playing big minutes tonight. To me, if I had to give a player the game, to me it would be Kenny Hustle. He took two charges. He had three assists, four rebounds, two of which were offensive, you know, had a block shot. He was just everywhere tonight. I can't say can't say enough about the way Kenny Hustle came out and played, especially because we were down so much. Yeah, he was out there just hustling, doing whatever it took to get the ball and to just do whatever he could. 2 for 3 on three-pointers and 12 points. I just felt like he was the player of the game, and it was just unfortunate that we couldn't have all the guys play like Kenny Hustle tonight.
You know, one of the things about this season is we don't have the vets that we started last season with. So watching these young players turn into the veterans is really exciting, and we're going to see the locker room be dominated by these young voices, and we're excited about that. When you pull out certain players, it gives opportunities for other people to step up. So I'm excited about seeing who that is and how this turns out. One player that played well today was Poku. In just 16 and a half minutes, he went 4 for 9, 2 for 7 on threes. One of them was really deep, and that was great to see. 7 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals, a total of 10 points. Man, he's getting better. He's getting better and better and better, and that's what I want to see from this guy. I think he's even, at this point, starting to pass my expectations. I was trying to stay reasonable about my expectations for Poku, and I might be losing a little bit of that reason right now.
I mean, for good reason. There's a lot of talent that he's been showing. His shot for the three-pointer, it kind of looks a little off sometimes. I get what you want to say. Some people will be like, you know what, he has no three-point shot. But the reality is that he's still really young. Give him time to develop that. I love that Coach D recognizes how young he is and how much room he has to grow, and he consistently tells him to keep shooting. 2 for 7 is not great, but then again, you know, I'm not disappointed in him for taking as many as he did. 10 points, 8 rebounds, just felt like that was great. You know, I want to circle back about Derek Favors. You mentioned him earlier. 2 offensive rebounds tonight. Second game in a row where he's had 2 offensive rebounds. I think this is going to be proof that he's going to be expected to do a lot. I like this rotation that we had. Isaiah had 10 minutes at the center position, and Derek Favors had 10 minutes at the center position, and then Mike had 12. Obviously Jeremiah Robinson Earl was expected to play that center position, and I think Baisley played a little bit as well tonight. So the reality is moving these guys around like they are, it's going to be very consistent like that. They're going to rely on certain players. And tonight, because it was a blowout, is why not give them minutes to Jeremiah Robinson Earl? He had 21 minutes tonight, 4 points, 6 rebounds. 1 was offensive. You know what? I'm all for that. He had some big minutes tonight. And anytime that we can get our rookies more minutes in a blowout is big.
Trey Mann was another guy who had a really solid game. And just 13 minutes, he went 3 for 5. 2 for 3 from deep. So you got to love that, man. There's nothing else you can ask for from a guy who's just getting his feet wet in the NBA. Only 8 points because he wasn't able to hit any of his free throws, but I know that that's something he's going to keep getting better at. The truth is he could have had a double-digit game tonight, and I know he's going to come back and probably put one up next game because he's going to get more than 13 minutes if he continues to play at the level he's playing.
Yeah, man. Gabriel Deck had 9 minutes tonight. He didn't have any points, had an assist. But you could see that he's out there hustling and just getting any minutes that he possibly can tonight. Vit Krejci got 6 minutes. He's got his first NBA points tonight as well. He got that off the free throw line. Got 1 defensive rebound. I felt like he did a good job tonight for the 6 minutes that he played. And Ty Drummond got 15 minutes tonight. He stepped up and got an offensive rebound. He got an assist. You know what? Didn't get any points, but to me, it wasn't about the points. It was about him getting comfortable in the offense. This is his first game playing. So, you know, again, these young guys are rusty, and they're going to take a little time to get going. But when they get going, it's going to be a lot of fun to see this team start rolling.
Yeah, it's a young team. It's going to take some time. I know that it's going to take some patience, and that's why I'm glad that we have Coach Daigneault at the helm. These guys want to win. They want to compete. They want to go out there and do their best, and sometimes you just got to move on. And I know that they're probably going to study this tape. I know that Coach Daigneault has mentioned in the past that he has just gotten rid of tape. I don't know exactly what they're going to do with this, but the truth is the effort could have been better, but what I saw was them trying, just things weren't really succeeding. Dort was out there busting his butt. Roby, you know, he brought a lot of energy. Sometimes that energy, you know, worked against him, but, you know, it's his first start. I mean, I definitely can relate to that feeling. And Baisley, he's continued to step up. Giddy, who cares if it's just 6 points? I mean, this is just the process. And honestly, with SGA, his level of excellence up to this point has led us to the point where 13 points is a major disappointment. And that's great, because that's how good he is. And we shouldn't get upset about it. I mean, he's disappointed with himself. And when people who are that good are disappointed in themselves, the stupidest thing you can do is add on to that. Like, he's got it. He's a pro, and he's going to lead us through this.
Yeah, man. And, you know, let's just be clear on something. You can't win a championship in the NBA without adversity. You have to be able to struggle through a lot of bullshit in order to be able to get the ultimate prize. We know that. You know, we know what it takes to be able to watch build a championship team. To me, any Oklahoma City Thunder fan had that opportunity when the Oklahoma City Thunder moved to Oklahoma City. So you understand that you can't just snap your fingers and want excellence right away. To us, this is a process, and I know that's cliche right now in the NBA, but this is a process, and we have to be able to be patient. And I expect this team to put it together and be able to do some great things. It doesn't mean that's what's going to happen, but I do think that Sam Presti and Coach D are truthful when they say that we are walking into the season with a blank slate. Anything could happen, and if this team comes out ready to play, then yeah, we're going to go for it. And I think that's where we're sitting at. We're going to see this team start clicking. Nobody likes to get their ass beat by 30-plus points by their arch nemesis. And you know what? Houston and Dallas are kind of those guys for us. We have to be able to sit back and watch how Coach D handles this. We saw it last year with Coach D. We would get blown out, and then we'd come back the next game, and we'd win. We have to see how he's going to be able to handle that. Oh, and I want to say this, by the way. We didn't cover this last. I had it in my notes, and I should have been able to bring it up, but for some reason it didn't get brought up. We held the Jazz to 0 fast break points against them in the first game. This is the way our defense is. We're going to limit these fast breaks. Unfortunately, tonight, it wasn't necessarily the same thing. I think they still had a low number, but here's the deal. Is the Oklahoma City Thunder are still trying to figure out where they're going. And once they figure out where they're going, everybody that's been around here for the ride are going to really enjoy what's going to happen. Giddy, Shea, Dort, Baisley, these are the guys that we're going to be able to watch for a very long time. They're going to put it together, and when they do, this team is going to be fun to watch. So I can say this for you guys. I can say it for myself. Is this is hard to watch the Oklahoma City now go 0-2. A blowout like this right here, yes. Is there a panic button in this scenario that people are starting to click right now saying, let's look towards the draft and fuck the season? Yes. But I challenge you not to do that. I challenge you to stay away from that panic button and to get wrapped up in all this craziness going on, because this is only game two. If everybody after two games hit that panic button, then what the fuck are we doing? We watched this Oklahoma City team before go, I think it was like 0-5 in the first five games, and then come back and win the West. So there's been horrible shit that's happened to this team in adversity before, and we've watched them overcome it. So don't hit the panic button yet. It's 0-2, not 0-16. This team is going to be all right, and we're going to see them win in the next couple of games. For me, I think next game is going to be the one that we're going to love to see. They play against Philadelphia, and for some reason, we play against East teams really, really well. So I'm excited about that game. That is going to be on Sunday night at 7 p.m. Stay tuned for that. We'll be dropping a podcast right after that episode or that game is done. I'm expecting big things. It's at Oklahoma City at the Paycom Center. First game of the season there, so you know Oklahoma City Thunder fans are going to be going fucking crazy. I wish I could be there. Unfortunately, I can't, but I will definitely be watching and getting stoked up. So looking forward to seeing you guys on the big screen out there in Oklahoma City. And for now, just as a reminder, this episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief. We'll be right back.
Thank you.